To read the Easter story from where we left off this morning, and that is in Luke chapter 24, and it's on page 1062, page 1062 in the Chapel Bibles, and it's Luke chapter 24, and the risen Jesus has just been explaining to two disciples on the road to Emmaus that Christ had to die, had to suffer. And he began at Moses and he told them from the scriptures all the prophecies concerning himself. And then we read that he vanished from their sight. And we go to verse 31, that's where we pick it up. Luke 24, verse 31. And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it, and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Well, tonight we come to the third in our series on the subject of the shadow of the cross. The shadow of the cross. It's a gospel series, and we're going to consider what we read together in Luke chapter 23, we read it from Luke 24, but the verses in Luke 23 concerning King Herod. And Luke 23 from verse 6, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man Jesus were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him in many words, but Jesus answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity, between themselves. Well, we began the series last Sunday evening with the shadow of the cross. And we saw that the shadow of the cross was an expression which was coined in a hymn some years ago and been used several times since. You can look it up on the internet, not terribly profitably, to find lots of sermons on the shadow of the cross, but not all of them are good. But it was originally, it's the Lord Jesus on his way to Jerusalem to suffer and to die. The shadow of the cross was over him. It was always there. But it also means that the shadow of the cross fell across the paths of certain individuals, people just like you and I, whose lives were never the same once the shadow of the cross had been cast upon them. So we looked with, to start with that man Pilate that we read about tonight. The shadow of the cross was cast upon him. He was never the same again. It greatly affected his life. And the same was true of the man we considered on Friday, that is, the dying thief. But the effect upon Pilate was to harden his heart. He seemed reluctant to have any involvement in the condemnation of Jesus. He publicly, with great drama, washed his hands. But you can't do that. You can't just wash your hands and have no further involvement when it comes to the shadow of the cross passing upon you. Pilate would never be the same. He had had Christ, the only Saviour, before him, and he had to make a choice, for or against. Well, he chose to wash his hands, but that was a vote against. As he washed his hands and said, I'll have nothing to do with this man, it was a symbol of getting rid of. You know, we use the expression, I wash my hands of you. Well, again, it comes from the Bible. So many of these expressions do. The dying thief was a different story. He was about to die, and he saw with that eye of a last-minute, God-given faith that the dying man on the cross next to him was in fact a king. In fact, he was the king coming in glory one day, and he believed. He was converted by the grace of God. He became a true believer with an hour to live, and he went to be with Christ in paradise that day. Now we're thinking about Herod, Herod Antipas. He was a man in a very privileged position. It was in 4 BC that he had been appointed Tetrarch of Galilee. I'm not sure what a Tetrarch is. It's a ruler over Galilee. And Galilee was a province which was renowned for troublemaking in the days of his father, Herod the Great, the one who killed the children at the birth of Jesus. His father was now dead, and the position of Tetrarch was not as bad as it once had been. He had a history of association, this man, Herod, not with Christ himself, but one of his most faithful servants, John the Baptist. And now, on a visit to Jerusalem, the shadow of the cross was cast across Herod's path, and he met the Saviour of the world. So we're going to think, first of all, about Herod's contact with the truth. What was something about history? Well, it all involved John the Baptist. The king had been greatly disturbed 2 or 3 years earlier to hear that there was a new preacher in Galilee, a man who was totally different from the usual boring religious leaders in the province, people that if you sat and tried to listen to, you'd be asleep in minutes. Herod was so impressed to hear that crowds of people were taking religion seriously and were being attracted to this new preacher, and many were actually being ducks in the river Jordan, in baptism. He summoned his people, you know, his transport people, and he actually went out to hear the ministry of John the Baptist. And he heard John the Baptist speak such things as he'd never heard before. First of all, he was speaking to Herod's soldiers, these men who were always complaining about their wages. They weren't paid enough, and John told these soldiers, be content with your wages and stop being cruel to people. And Herod thought, well, quite right, I agree with that. This preacher has got something to say. These soldiers of mine always complaining about their wages, and but you must repent. John said to the soldiers, and Herod thought, yes, you must. And then the Pharisees, these religious bishops, as it were, strutting around in their pride. What did people think of them? Oh, they looked up to them. Herod was very suspicious of them. And John said, you're hypocrites. You Pharisees, a bunch of hypocrites. Repent, believe in the Lord Jesus with all your heart. And then the tax collectors, stop your greedy advantage taking. Repent. And, well, Herod thought, this is great. Who's he going to go on to next? And he listened. And John said, Herod, King Herod, you're living in sin. And Herod could hardly believe his ears when John the Baptist pointed him out and said, Herod, you're living in sin. Now, people were looking at him anyway, because it wasn't every day that the king of the country, although he was appointed by the Romans, nobody took him that seriously, when the king turned up in the wilderness to listen to a preacher. Now, every eye in the place was fixed upon Herod, as John pointed out that Herod had taken his brother Philip's wife and was living with her as though she were his wife. That's Herodias. And he knew the preacher was right, and Herod wasn't sure whether he was offended or whether he just had to say, well, I know you're right, but I can't do anything about it. But his wife, or his mistress, she would not have any of it. When she heard what John had said, she said, you've got to get rid of that man. You've got to get rid of him. You've got to just, he shouldn't be allowed to say that sort of thing in public, drawing attention to us, embarrassing us. But Herod would not have John arrested until he had to. She put so much pressure on him. You know how it is when you're under that much pressure and you just have to do it. And he had John arrested. But you know, even there, John was in Herod's prison. And there in the prison, Herod still went down to the prison and listened to what John had to say. We're told he heard him gladly. Well, that's something, we don't hear preachers that gladly these days. And he heard John gladly. There was something about the electricity in John's speaking which struck him to the heart, and he felt that God was speaking to him. And whilst he didn't like what God was saying to him, he had to admit this was the truth. And it was nothing but the truth. And it was the whole truth. And as John spoke to him every day, or every week, or whenever it was he went, perhaps he took John out of the prison into a private room. Or maybe he just actually sat and listened to him in his prison cell. But he knew the preacher was right. We're told that he feared John. He heard him gladly, but he feared John. He was one of the most powerful men in Galilee, because that's where he was the tetrarch, and one of the most powerful people in all of Israel. But he feared John. And we're told a very strange thing. He did many things. What on earth does that mean? He did many things. Well, you know all about it if you've ever tried to be a Christian in your own strength. You do many things. You try. I'll go to church every week. I'll say my prayers every day. I'll start reading the Bible. I'll do anything to try to become a Christian. I did it. Have you done it? Many people have. And he did many things. He went out of his way. He was perplexed. And he did many things. And then came the birthday party. The birthday party was the daughter of his new so-called wife, Herodias. And people call her Salome. We don't know if that was her actual name. But Salome is what she's known as. And she danced. And she was a young teenage girl dancing in front of this king. And his eyes nearly popped out of his head. And he thought, what a glorious thing this is. And he spoke to her and he said, look, anything, I'm going to give you anything for your birthday. Anything you want, up to half of my kingdom I'll give you. And everybody around the table heard him say it. And she went to her mother. And she said, oh, do you know what the king has said to me? He said he's going to give me up to half his kingdom. What shall I ask for? And she had no doubt. She said, ask him for the head of John the Baptist on a plate. What a horrible thing. But she went back to John the Baptist, and she said, she went back to Herod, and she said, I want the head of John the Baptist on a plate. And everybody heard her, everybody had heard him, and he had no choice, well, he did, but he chose to keep to what he'd promised, and he sent, and he had John beheaded in prison. And they brought up a charger, a big plate, with John the Baptist's head on it, and gave it to the girl who was the daughter of Herodias and the stepdaughter of Herod. Well, that was it. No longer did Herod go down to the prison to listen to John. No longer did he fear him. No longer did he do many things. No longer was he hearing John gladly, because the voice had been cut off. No longer would his conscience trouble him, except that it did. His conscience would not be quiet. He could not silence that voice within him, telling him that he was the greatest sinner in the world for the things that he had done, till he heard of Jesus and his disciples. By this time, Jesus had gone throughout most of Galilee. He'd been to Judea a time or two, and he'd been through Capernaum, Galilee, all through the northern country there. And he sent out 12 disciples to preach the word of God and to cast out devils. Gave them authority, gave them the power to do that. And everywhere they went, things, amazing things were happening. They were only out for a couple of months, but by the time they came back, the news had reached Herod of a man who was having a remarkable effect, because they didn't speak of themselves, they spoke about their master, Jesus. And John had done that. John had pointed to Jesus. And people said, we think it's Elijah from the Old Testament has risen from the grave. Others said, well, it's a prophet that was spoken of by Moses. But Herod said, no, this is John the Baptist risen from the dead. It's the voice of the one that I've killed coming back to haunt me for the rest of my life. And he was terrified at the thought. It had a remarkable effect on him, and he said, it's John the Baptist. He couldn't get rid of that thought from his mind, that somehow John was right all along and had risen from the grave. These 12 zealous men were going across the country, and Herod found that the voice of John the Baptist was still echoing in his ears. Now, it was different from John, but there were similarities. And Herod must have been a superstitious man to believe that. It was Herod's conscience. I suspect as the weeks went by and the reports became more clear, Herod realised Jesus was not John, resurrected. And he began to get harder, more cynical. No longer did his conscience trouble him so much. He rather hoped he might have the opportunity to meet this new teacher in Galilee at some stage. Well, he had no such opportunity, but the second thing we think about is Herod's visit to the Passover feast. Why did he go to the Passover feast? Well, it was his job. In the course of his duties as the leader of the Jewish people, he was appointed by Caesar Augustus. He had to visit Jerusalem for the annual Passover celebrations. Part of his job. He had to make contact with Pontius Pilate, but he hadn't spoken to for months because they'd fallen out. It wouldn't have looked good if they had not met. And so he had to go and meet Pilate at some stage. But he was avoiding it until Pilate sent for him. Why? Well, Pilate was trying to convince the chief priests that he could see no reason for Jesus to be found guilty. I could see nothing wrong in this man. What's he done? He could see no reason. And they fiercely protested that Jesus was a troublemaker. They said, teaching throughout the land of the Jews from Galilee to Judea. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked, is this man a Galilean? And they said, yes, he's a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he came from Galilee, he realized he belonged not to his jurisdiction, but to Herod's. And so Pilate sent to Herod, who was also at Jerusalem at that time. What was Herod's reaction? Well, little did he know, this was the shadow of the cross being cast upon his path. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season. He'd heard many things of Jesus, and he hoped he would see some miracle done by him. Here was a man who had known the troubled conscience which could lead him to repentance. That was long gone. Now all he wanted was to see Jesus turn water into wine or raise the sick from their sick beds. He was glad to see Jesus for all the wrong reasons. There are many people who would like to see Jesus for the wrong reasons. They don't actually want to see the one who condemns them of their sin and calls them to repentance. Well, that was Herod. He questioned Jesus when he was brought into the room in many words. Questions, questions, questions. You can ask as many questions as you like, but are you asking the right questions? What do you really want? The question you need to ask, first and foremost, is what must I do to be saved? How can I become a Christian? How can I know peace with God, my sins forgiven, and the assurance in my heart that I'm not condemned for the life that I've lived? But when he asked all those questions, he never asked the right question, and Jesus answered him nothing, nothing at all. Why did Jesus not answer him? Well, Jesus knew his heart. You see, he had some respect for Pontius Pilate, but this murderous king who'd taken the life of John the Baptist, well, Herod then took the usual unbeliever's policy. What do you do when you don't believe? You ridicule the Saviour. If you don't understand it, laugh at it. Isn't that what the world does? And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, what did he do? Well, he got his men of war against Jesus. He took out all his soldiers, all dressed in their battle and their armour. And he set Jesus at naught and mocked him. And he dressed him in a gorgeous robe. And then he sent him again to Pilate. Mockery, setting at naught. So Herod too was washing his hands, but you can't do that. You can't just wash your hands once the shadow of the cross has passed over your head. You have to face up to it. You have to come to the Lord and answer the question that he asks you, which is, where will you spend eternity? What are you doing with your life? Herod's end. He disappears from the scene now. This Herod, there was a Herod who came to a gruesome end in the early part of the next book after John, the book of Acts, but that's a different Herod. This Herod became involved in a disastrous war. He was sent into exile by the Emperor Caligula, according to tradition, and he died in obscurity. That was Herod's end. He came to an end, as far as we know, without ever repenting and turning to Christ. The Passover that year was notable for the events concerning Jesus. Those people that we read about, they were astonished that this man, who actually was Jesus, didn't seem to know what had happened in Jerusalem. The most amazing events concerning Jesus of Nazareth. But the priests and the rulers of the Jews did their best to hide the resurrection. They bribed people to say that the disciples had come that night and stolen the body away, whilst there was a guard against such a thing happening. Herod must have been aware in the next few weeks that the followers of Jesus were multiplying. The gospel was spreading, but he'd had his chance. The shadow of the cross passed over King Herod. He thought little of it. But he'd had his face-to-face with Christ, and like Pilate, he was affected. Like the dying thief, he was affected, but in an entirely different way. How could he not be affected? How can any of us not be affected when we've heard the gospel? It will be held against us one day if we turn our backs or laugh or just dismiss it or say, well, one day I'll sort this out. No, the time has come. Today is the accepted time, says the Bible. Now is the day of salvation. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. call ye upon him while he is near. The shadow of the cross has passed over each of us. How have you responded? Let's turn to our closing hymn.